I had a friend whose last name was Durst, and he thought that he was related to Fred Durst because he thought that there were no other Dursts. Like, oh, it's a rare name. No, you're an idiot.
Did he really think that was a good thing?
I don't think so, but I think he thought that it was a very high likelihood that he was related to him.
We have a guy at Shreddit named Tim Hong, so his username is Thong.
Oh, dear, that's horrible.
How unfortunate.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm so, so sorry for him.
Yeah, jeez.
I think I'd go by, shit, what's a nickname for Tim that doesn't start with T?
I don't think there is one.
I think I'd go by my middle name.
Yeah, that would be an ideal thing to do.
Still, usernames are always, or I guess if he had done it legally that way.
Yeah.
Like when he started.
There are ways you can do it legally.
Yeah.
You can just be buddies with the IT guys and get them to change.
True. Yeah, we can make your username whatever you want.
Yeah.
I should make my username something awesome.
Kevil N.
Genesis. Actually, the Genesis username is probably already taken because we had a project named Genesis.
Ah, okay.
I thought you were going to say you had a guy named Gary Ennesis.
That sounds like it could be a real name.
Let's make that happen. I'm going to the name change.
I'm gonna make a test user for something called Gary Ennesis.
Gary Ennesis. That is great. I love that.
He's the new protagonist in the new IP for Microsoft.
He thought he was safe from the mob until the mob came searching for him. But little did they know, he has secret powers. I'm Gary Ennesis. And I am the Genesis!
Wow! And he drives a car that is a Genesis and then transforms into a Genesis with scales all over it.
Or a flying robot. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big weekend. I am Seg, and alongside Slowbird and Kevil, we are Race Night. And this is going to be a heck of a race weekend, a holy weekend of racing, both in games and in real life. How you doing, Slowbird?
I'm pretty sure I'm fine, I think.
That's good, I think. How about you, Kevil?
I'm really tired.
As am I. I'm excited. The smart thing to do was to forego water for keeping my voice clean and everything. And just down a bunch of caffeinated beverage type stuff. I guess it's Pepsi.
Do you guys get that throwback Pepsi now?
Yeah, that's what I'm drinking actually right now. It's quite tasty, I think.
I have like a 12-pack on my couch waiting to go in the fridge.
It's great because with those, it's new sugar. My body can't tell the difference.
Yep.
Yeah, sugar is sugar, and it's in fucking everything. But we've actually had a really big thing happen this last week by the name of Dirt 3 finally coming out.
After 13 long years.
Yes, after 13 long years.
Dirt Nukem forever.
Yes. We waited all this time, was canceled twice, made it through, then a helicopter crash, almost canned the whole series, and here we are, Ken Block is hooning.
Indeed.
Could we get the guy from Duke Nukem into the next Dirt game, maybe? That'd be great.
You mean John St. John?
Yeah, but who's the character? Duke Nukem, the title character that I couldn't remember his name for a second.
Duke Nukem.
can we get Duke Nukem from Duke Nukem fame into the Dirt 3, 4?
Bruce Campbell is Duke Nukem in Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's what I want. I want Duke Nukem as Duke Nukem in Dirt 4.
Yes, and just out of nowhere, all of a sudden, it's Liam Neeson. And Duke Nukem's nowhere to be seen.
Wah! Wah!
More like balls. That's where I was going with that. But Dirt 3, we've all been playing about it. I think it's a pretty damn good game, but I'll elaborate after I ask Slowbird what he thinks about it.
It's the best game in a while.
The best game in a while, I agree.
Because I don't play much other than racing games.
I was hoping you could elaborate more on this and curate a conversation, but
it's got okay.
No,
it's yeah. Okay. It's got it's way better. More Fords than the other Dirt game, and it's also got a lot of cool rallying and old cars and new cars and some pretty sweet tracks.
Is that your judgment system whether a game is good, how many Fords it has?
It's a factor. It comes into play.
Kevel, I don't think there's any Hyundais in Dirt 3. What do you think of it?
I think it's pretty good. I only played it that one Tuesday so far.
Okay, you still haven't got a chance to get back to it?
No, I haven't gone into the single player yet.
There's definitely one Hyundai. It's that prototype thing, but it has a Hyundai engine. So yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So you get one.
Okay, so the Reese Millen Racing does have a Hyundai engine.
Yep.
Okay, so there is a Hyundai in it. Instantly, it's now the greatest game ever.
It's better than Tada 2.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't take much.
If I remembered I still had it, would have traded in.
Same here.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to be better than Tada 2, Chess Drive Unlimited 2, and also does not take much to be better than Shift 2 Unleashed.
Really? I'm pretty glad that I didn't buy that then.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of pissed that I let myself get suckered in like that. I really am. By all means, I should not have let a freaking convention pitch.
You're a consumer whore.
At least you didn't buy Tada 2, because let's face it, that's worse.
Yeah, that is true.
I bought it after watching the quick look.
You had all the warning in the world. Yeah, so Dirt 3,
some people don't like crashes, but some people seem to end up in them anyway.
I don't like crashing when my rating is on the line and I'm trying to get a cautious rating. That's the thing. That's my whole issue there. And when I say, hey guys, I'm just going to hang in the back of the pack and drive really slow in order to increase my crash rating, so you know, I get bonus
and
all that crap. You know, I sort of expect that the first thing that is going to happen is I get run over by two different people.
There's a fatal flaw with your plan. When you said you were going to go slow and coast in the back, there was a guy who was always back there because he was just slow.
Yeah, that was a real problem, is that Freak Nasty, one of our guys that occasionally joins us, he's not very fast and he's very dangerous in the back of the pack. So it's like trying to get past one of those old AI in racing games that would weave back and forth along the road no matter what the course was.
Or 2007 era David Reagan.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness. Or current era AJ Allmendinger.
That's not fair.
That is totally fair, and you know it. And we're not getting back into NASCAR talk. We got some issues with that.
Damn it. Yeah, I walked away last week while listening to that.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, that was nightmare beyond nightmares. Other than the crash rating thing, which I found out later, that actually it has to be activated manually in multiplayer.
Oh.
Which it wasn't on, so we'll have to, you know, either, you know, later this weekend or some other time, have to get races going where we all get more races in with the collision ratings on so that everybody... Everyone be cautious, because that's actually a 20% boost to your fans online.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a good thing to have a lot of. But the online, I actually think it's really darn good, really smart the way they do a lot of it. The jam sessions for private matches and custom matches kind of leaves a little bit to be desired here and there. But the Pro Tour, the ranked stuff, is separated in like 8 different playlists, and it's really well thought out, I think.
I have one complaint.
What's that?
They separate the point to point, but they don't give you just Rally or just Trailblazer. You have to do a mixture, kind of.
That's true. I'm not against Trailblazer that much. I think it's an interesting mode.
I have a couple issues with it. One is, it's basically hill climbing, but you're not going uphill.
Right.
And it's also, the second thing is, it's Rally, but with way faster cars and no co-driver, which is, like, the worst recipe for crashes ever invented.
But by the same token, these tracks are very much straighter in almost every case than the actual rally courses they put you on.
I've done a bunch of a couple trailblazers that seemed like they were on exactly the same tracks.
I mean, some cases they use the same hairpins and that sort of thing, but yeah. Otherwise I see a lot of slighter turns. When dealing
Maybe.
With a lot of
and
courses.
I just don't like the handling of the Trailblazer cars, and you can't adjust the handling in Pro Tour.
Right, in some cases, yeah. I think in every case, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but by the same token, the Trailblazer vehicles, I find, they just work best if you try and limit the brake use to just very brief taps, and then otherwise just steer with the accelerator all the way through.
Yeah, but that means coasting a lot.
Yeah, it does mean coasting at times, but, you know, whatever you gotta do.
I just want an all classic rally playlist. I want to do all the classic rally.
Well, that's what jam sessions are for, is doing classic cars and,
yeah,
you know, driving about.
I really like the 60s and 70s rally cars.
Yeah, they are very nice. And I should take this moment to mention to everybody who's listening, all seven of you maybe, that Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, we will have a Dirt 3 race night in America.
Send a friend request to Giant Bomb Dirt. That's Giant Space Bomb Space Dirt.
Some people from Canada will also be there.
Well, yeah, America. Disclaimer. Talking like North America, South America. I'm talking all the Americas.
We cover both poles and some equator.
We don't have any South Americans in race night, but we hope to get some soon.
Yeah, Brazilians would be really crazy if they started joining us. I mean, not as in they would be... No, what I'm saying is they'd be crazy personality-wise. I've had bad experiences with Brazilians online before. I'm just going to say that. The only one I haven't had a bad time with is the guy who created a version, and he was German originally, so...
Are there any... So there's Pikes Peak hill climb cars, but no actual hill climbs?
No, there isn't.
There's no Pikes Peak, and some of the tracks go up a little, but then they go back down.
Right. It's just basically, they're the exact same stages. And this is one of my main gripes about Dirt 3, is that the stages you use get a lot of repetition in them. You can see the same sections in a lot of the different stages. And each area, Kenya, Michigan, Finland, Norway, and all that sort of stuff, I think there's four others I'm forgetting. Maybe, I don't know. Each of them have eight stages. And of those eight, some of them are just reversed. And others are just repeating the same sections, but now we split off in this other way.
Okay.
So it feels like a lot of the idea of we've added a bunch more rally stages is more we decided we were going to add a lot more repetition in the same stuff in Ridge Racer a bit, which is a shame.
Yeah, and there's no outright single player outside of the career, just set up a rally race and go with multiple stages.
There isn't? I thought that's what single player had.
It has, like... time trial or single race, but you can only do, as far as I can tell, you only do like one stage
at a time. That is a shame.
Yeah, maybe I messed up. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess in my situation, I would much rather do something like that in multiplayer. You know, set up
that that is true.
Set up a jam session lobby and put that stuff together, and when people start whining, just start it anyways because screw people.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the same reason why I'm handling all the single-player Dirt Tour stuff at a very low difficulty level, because I just want to crash through as much of it as possible, get gold on all of it, leave it behind, and just focus on the multiplayer, because the multiplayer is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was quite fun. And the funny thing is it's not just the racing. They have some really smartly thought-out party modes as well.
Yeah, the virus tag works really well. It's better than virus tag in Forza, I'd have to admit.
Yeah, way better.
And it's kind of both because of the way it starts and the whole thematics of it all, but also just the graphics, and whenever a car is infected, its paint job slowly changes to green.
Slowly or suddenly?
Yeah. I saw somebody get tagged right in front of me, and it's like it turns through triangles.
Awesome!
On the car.
That's a nice.
It's like that,
nice
like touch. That '90s TV show with the transforming Viper.
Yeah, kind of actually, except you know, not so much CGI and just triangles instead.
The whole game is CGI.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm saying you know, not that whole cheesy you know molding thing. It doesn't mold the car at all. It just changes the texture of the paint job.
Right. Well, It just looks like a Viper with scales all over it because triangles.
But yeah, that's the great part is that at the beginning of virus tag, everybody has that 5 seconds where nobody knows who's going to be the first infected. And you start out facing each other in a circle and just you get the 5 seconds run about. Yeah. And all of a sudden somebody, I was the first one to be infected. I was patient zero in the first game of this we had. And when that expires and you find out you're the one infected, that is a stunning moment right there where the screen all of a sudden just turns this bright green. You get this fisheye lens look and it says, "You are infected, hunt." Very nice how it works. Because the point system, I think, is the best part of it, is that it actually does what Forza doesn't do a very good job of. It ranks both infected people and uninfected people in their performance.
Yeah, because in Forza, if you're it more than once in a 3-round set, you are going to be last, probably.
Yep, exactly. And whereas for Outbreak in Dirt 3, the idea is if you're one of the it guys, one of the infected, and you tag another car, that's 2 points for you, and everybody else who's uninfected gets a point for surviving a stage, essentially. And that continues. Whoever of the infected gets a tag gets 2 points. So it's very potential that if Patient Zero, like I did in the first game, tags a lot of people, it doesn't matter that one guy survives to the end. He is totally going to, you know, lose to Mr. Tags-a-Lot. And I guess there's also, we didn't experience it much because a 5-minute timer on virus tag is pretty high, actually. But there's a chance where the people who aren't infected can actually evade being touched at all, unlike Forza, where it just goes until everybody's it.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice, and there's an achievement attached to that, too, so we're going to be playing a bit of that until everybody gets that achievement.
Yep.
And then there's the other mode that I think is much better than I thought it could ever have been in Dirt 3, and that's Transporter, the fight to be Jason Statham. I'm talking CTF. That's pretty good.
I played it that one time, and I was very confused because I didn't know the map, and you did mention in your thread for the race, and I'd get familiar with that just so that you have some idea of how that map works.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was...
Actually, how many? Are there several maps for Transporter?
For all those modes, you basically can lock off different areas of the Battersea compound.
Okay.
And in that case, I think we were using Waterfront continuously for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Although you could potentially open up the entire compound and have it for use in something like that, which I think would be good for like a team-based transporter, even though I don't like the idea of that anyways. But yeah, free-for-all is very nice just because the drop zones are randomly chosen around the map, usually in points that are hard to reach or require a little bit of effort to get to. And then everybody's running around, just out of nowhere, a flag drops, a horn sounds, and you're off.
I'm not very good at that mode.
It just depends. You basically have to be waiting to snipe somebody or steal something.
I don't wait or know how to get anywhere. I just go at top speed all the time and always get wrecked by all of the other cars.
Oh yeah, you can't go top speed all the time. That's not going to help at all.
But it's fun.
It is fun. But it's better in that case just to be the
winning
one.
Is also fun, though.
Yeah, winning is fun. You should know that, Slowbird. You're the one talking about that all the time.
That's what the rally modes are for.
Yeah, but you've kind of been dropping the ball there, too. Hey, 4Z's kind of been kicking our butts.
I don't know what happened.
I should say, on a side note, you did kick ass in the TNT that nobody else got into.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
You know what, though? I mean, Hey4Z, I remember when he first joined in Forza, and he was just kind of a guy that was always in the middle of the pack and was just really difficult to pass.
Yeah.
I remember, like, this last week race night, there were a lot of races where he was leading or he was in very close second to me or someone else.
He's
improved his racing a lot.
I think he got a new wheel or something.
Yeah,
and
something
plus,
like that.
Plus he doesn't block so much anymore. Definitely, he doesn't block so much anymore.
Okay, that's interesting. I really don't know if last week's race night is a good point of judgment for anything, because so many of us were so used to handling in Dirt 3 that it was kind of hard to adjust back to.
I would think K4Z would have been used to that, though, too, and he still managed to do pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
I definitely had a tough time getting back into the Forza mode.
Yeah, I did too, especially the first few races. It's just the cars in Dirt 3, and it's just different handling profiles. I think Forza is more realistic than Dirt 3 for one.
Yeah.
But Dirt 3, every car is just floatier, easier to deal with. It's not going to be worrying about spinning it out as easily.
I just like throwing a car into the turn, and if you're going too fast, you just kind of drift around it, and in Forza 3, you really can't do that.
No.
You kind of have to slow down at the right point.
Yeah, Forza 3, you got to think your actions through ahead of time.
Which is kind of like real driving.
It is more like real driving. Codemasters, as much as people say, you know, this is a real feeling of racing with Codemaster games, it's not. It never has been.
And we don't need it to be.
Yeah, we don't need it to be. I think it's still fun otherwise, but yeah.
I keep forgetting to play Grid.
You know, I keep hearing people saying that's a great game, and you know, I just haven't had the urge to get around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. If I was going to buy it, I'd probably just play the figure eight mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it for PC, or?
There's a PC version on Steam, yeah.
Oh, I could buy that.
Yeah, it's probably like $10 or $20 now. You can wait for it to go on sale, though. Anytime Steam does one of their huge sales, inevitably Grid will be on sale.
Yeah, okay.
Why is that?
I don't know. Cody's like to discount their stuff during sales.
Good on them.
Yep. Usually, though, it's just fuel.
That's not a sale at all.
That's not a sale. That's a taunt.
Unless they give it to us and give us money with it. Here, take this and $5.
I would do that. I would take that deal.
Duh.
You give me... Actually, fuel was like... No, actually, I would take it for no money because...
I haven't even heard of fuel.
Fuel goes in your car.
Oh. Yes, no, I've heard of fuel. I haven't heard of Fuel the Game.
That's not the title. The title is just Fuel. Now, if you're talking about NASCAR the Game 2011, that's a different story.
Yeah. We're not talking about NASCAR.
We're not talking about NASCAR.
To talk about NASCAR.
F1.
Don't talk about NASCAR. But yeah, Dirt 3, let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to cover. I think the Dirt 2 or the single player stuff is smartly thought out. It's not so much the dude bro stuff of Dirt 2 where...
Although, I don't necessarily like the new menu system all that much either.
I think it's a little bit more elegant than Dirt 2's was.
Oh, it looks good. I mean, I wouldn't say it looks... It's kind of minimalist, which is fine, but it's very vague and kind of generic. Like, oh, here's a triangle, and then you go to another triangle, and then you go to another triangle. There's no structure. It's just like...
I did not expect that many triangles, even though...
It's just like a bunch of races in a random order, and you don't have to do them in that order. And the Dirt 2 thing was an obnoxious and over-the-top, sure, but at least it kind of gave you something to shoot for. Like, oh, I'm going to work my way up to the World Championships and then go do the X Games.
Yeah, in all fairness, that map pretty much laid out every single event right there in one concentrated area. And it was pretty easy to see what you had done and what you could do.
So, yeah, I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah, that was fine. I just didn't like the whole, you're in an RV, and now you have to walk outside to see your car, because there's a DJ playing, and that guy's an asshole. And
that was okay.
All these, you know, flailing arm men.
That was made worse by just how long it took.
Yeah, I think it was meaning how long it took. And, you know, if you just give me a map out of nowhere, and just all of a sudden, I pick that, it jumps right to the car list like it does in Dirt 3, boom, I'm set. That's a perfect menu system. Don't try and make me feel like a superstar in the menu, because the reality of Rally is that you're never going to be a superstar like that.
They'll do plenty of making you feel like a superstar with the after-race commenting and bullshit.
You slept with three people who wanted to have your money. I don't know.
Well, okay, sign me up then.
I mean, that then they're going to take your money.
Still considering it.
They're going to take all your money and your cars. They're going to drive off with their rally cars and your Fords, which happen to be your rally cars, because all you have for rally cars is Ford.
Still kind of considering it. Kinda.
Okay.
Do you have, like, a garage and stuff in single player? Or
You do, but it's basically all the differences. You're not really unlocking cars or anything, or buying cars.
Uh-huh.
All you're doing is unlocking sponsorship deals.
Oh.
Which, the further along you get, the more levels you get, the better sponsorship perks you get. Basically, those little bonus missions, the further up your sponsorships are, the more bonus points you get.
Well, you do. There are cars that are locked, and then you unlock them. But
But it's more like, you know, a club.
You don't buy them.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. And it's the sponsorship that unlocks it more than actually you just unlocked a Mini.
Yeah, sometimes you get a bronze-colored version of a car you already have.
Yeah, the Ford or whatever.
Yeah,
RS2. Yeah, I got that too. I don't know what's up with that. That's weird.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I actually, the funny thing is, Amazon finally sent me my pre-order code or whatever it was for ordering with them, the Yokohama team.
Mm-hmm.
That car is broken in that it gives you 2,250 rep for any bonus mission you complete.
Oh, so it's an unlock. Okay, but is that something you'll unlock later in the game?
Possibly. It might be an end-of-game thing, but okay. I'm looking at all the sponsors I have, and I don't see them listed there. So there's a chance that that could be, you know, more than any sponsor I'll ever receive, but the cars they allow for you to use are only like four cars in different categories, and you can't always use them.
Yeah, and you'll get access to those cars later. Without the pre-order, you just may not get the bonus points.
You might get access to them. I hope you do, but I can't say for sure.
What cars are they?
I can't tell you off the top of my head. I don't really pay attention to what cars they are, just the fact that it gives out 2,250 bonus rep for completing a bonus mission.
I mean, like, you'll get a different version of the same car.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you'll get different versions and sponsors and stuff, but it's like I'm at level 24-ish or so right now,
Yeah.
and still the best cars outside of the Yokohama cars give me only like 1,700 bonus rep.
Yeah, oh
So
yeah, okay.
it might come down to where I get to like the DC shoes and monster drink cars, and I will only get 2,000 bonus reps, still making the Yokohama the best car to choose whenever it's
Yeah.
available.
So your pre-order bonus is you power through the game with extra points and extra cars.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm not sure I mean, I like that personally, obviously, but I'm not sure that's cool.
It wasn't, and yeah, I don't think it was would have made me want to pre-order or anything.
Yeah, if Shift did something kind of similar to that, and I didn't even realize it because nothing said it in the game because Shift 2 was really good at communicating that sort of thing. Where the first 24 hours, apparently I was getting double XP and didn't realize it. So that's kind of why I made it to level 16 without any trouble in the first day, and then struggled to even make it to level 19 afterwards, after about 2 weeks of play.
They should have doubled the XP forever then.
Actually, not 2 weeks of play. That would imply I've actually played it for a length of time that I enjoyed it. No, more like another day of play total. I don't like Shift 2. Let me put it this way, real quick, before I go back to Dirt 3. I prepared for Dirt 3 by being able to play Shift 2 Unleashed well. The handling is that bad.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I think that would throw me off more.
It does, kind of. One thing I do want to ask about, and obviously Kevil can't answer this really, but Slowbird, you might be able to. Single player. What do you think about all those DC challenges that keep coming up?
Like the drifting ones?
Yeah, or any of them.
I
Any of them.
I've only seen a couple of them. Drifting, and was there one where you smashed all the blocks?
Yeah, I mean, they give you the drift challenges. There's two of those early on where you have to drift
Yeah.
so many points.
Yep.
They have a smash challenge where you have to smash as many blocks as possible. There's the Gymkhana Academy stuff.
I did the okay, I did that.
And then there's also like smash attack and
Oh yeah,
Gymkhana speed runs and that sort of
oh
thing.
yeah. I'm okay. It's okay. It seems harder than the rest of the single player.
It does. That's sort of what I'm getting at there, because
I'm just
and
going
it's
through and
because the difficulty doesn't affect that at all.
yeah.
Oh.
I'm just going through and getting bronze. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to some of the stuff you guys are talking about with like having to do all sorts of fanciness. Like I always found like drift events and all those things and the Need for Speed games a little bit annoying because like I would make it all the way through and then tap something somewhere and then just completely be screwed or something like that. I don't know.
It's
No,
not really that
it's
bad.
not
Like that,
that
though.
challenging. It's very
Yeah.
forgiving on the drifting. It just lets you, as long as you don't, well, there's not much to hit.
Oh, okay.
Well, the key for drifting is that it's a gate, not a whole, hold this drift out, bro. And I guess that differs for the donut sections, but the gates themselves, all they care about is how fast are you going through them and how sideways are you going through them. If you're going through them fast and sideways, you get the full points. But if you tap something otherwise, in the Gymkhana stuff, you lose multiplier.
Oh, okay.
So that is something you want to try and avoid as much as possible because it's
Oh,
too.
I thought we were talking about the drifting challenges.
Oh, the
Like,
drifting challenges, that's actually pretty lenient too.
is it?
Because you can drift basically into the woods up to the point of reset. And as long as you don't bump something that jars your car and
Yeah.
stops your drift dead flat, you can
You can
keep going.
do like backwards, sideways, backwards, forwards again, drifting.
I literally did not use the road for 50% of my platinum run on one of the drift maps.
Oh,
I was just drifting through the woods, spinning out my car, getting easy points and stuff like that.
the
And
best part is you can put it on
I did put it on YouTube, actually. I
YouTube.
didn't put the woods part through, I just put the parts where I look good.
That's my favorite feature, actually.
It is quite nice, I have to say. I haven't used it much since I put up a video of me landing on top of a CPU buggy and riding it around a corner.
I love when that happens in real life, so
That
I'm glad.
is good. It happens all the time. Great TV highlights.
I actually have a clip of that. I did that in Dirt 2 in Rallycross, but I had to record it with a handy handheld
Video
stupid thing.
camera.
Yeah. Not even that. No, like the video feature on a photo camera.
Oh, wow.
It's really bad, but it's up there on internets.
Well, here's the thing, and this is sort of what I've thought about this for a bit. is the YouTube functionality limits clips to 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I understand why they do that. There's space limitations and all that sort of thing. But is 30 seconds really enough to make anything worthwhile if it's just more a little gimmicky, dinky thing?
30 seconds is plenty of time to record any and all attempts or accidental completions of barrel rolls.
Yeah, I mean that, but I want to see, like, full races, and I know people are already doing this. They're just hooking fraps up to their computer or whatever, or Xbox, and just recording the whole thing.
I don't really want to watch full races. I can play the full race. I just want to see what other people did inside of their race.
Right. Yeah.
Like, a crazy sequence of battling through turns with somebody else. That might take 30 seconds. I mean...
Yeah. I've had, back when you're recording stuff, or back when I was doing stuff like that for Forza,
yeah.
I would be able to record like 50-second battles, which requires two separate videos.
I have had that happen before, but not nearly as often as you'd think.
I don't know. I think I just like the ability to have the video be more available than it is right now. I understand Microsoft and maybe Sony. I know Microsoft for sure is worried about... If we let people download these videos straight to a USB stick or something like that, they could find ways to hack our system, and we don't want that. Yeah, I don't understand quite the logic behind that, but that seems to be the answer they give whenever anybody ever asks them, hey, why don't you let us just download videos straight to a USB stick so we can make these awesome montage videos?
Yeah, I don't understand it either because, well, I don't know. The direct uploads, I can understand why they limit that to 30 seconds because... People have slow upload speeds, and it's probably going to take a long time.
My Xbox takes incredibly long to upload things, though, and I'm looking at its bandwidth usage on my router while it's doing it, and it's not even using, like, half my capability.
Huh, like, that's interesting.
I have UPnP enabled and all that jazz, so I think it has the ports open, but yeah, it's kind of annoying. Like, that's why
It's probably reserving some, like, upload speed for, like, party chat and shit.
I guess.
Yeah, it might be that. Player. That's weird, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't dare try using party chat while uploading video and that sort of thing to begin with.
No.
And honestly, if you're making videos or compiling anything like that, I wanted just to basically check how much free space you have on your hard drive. Say, okay, you can make a video this long, you know, and leave it so there's some leeway so it can never crash itself doing that.
I just need to buy an HD TV card for my PC and then hook up my Xbox to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody kind of wants to do that, but I think maybe this is something that the next generation of console could really get into, the whole social featuring. I want to be able to record videos. I want to be able to publish my good moments in gaming for other people to see.
Yeah.
And for me to remember. And I think that's where a lot of the future can go into. Hey, you know, don't talk about just the cloud and that sort of thing. Talk about how I can share memories from gaming rather than saying, hey, man, you should have seen that time I did a backflip into the helicopter.
They're scratching the surface now. Within 10 years, we'll be talking about this like it was a feature all along.
I sincerely hope so, because I want to be able to... I'm not looking for just, you know, uploading every single race I do to YouTube, but I would like to see a way to manage highlights so that I can make my own videos rather easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, let's see, trying to think of what else in Dirt 3. The challenges are all... You know, they can be tough at points, but I have so far I've gotten through, I think, 14 of 26, and I've platinumed them all so far.
Wow.
So, it takes a significant amount of practice in realizing what you have to do in each section. And the biggest pain in the ass is the donuts, when Gymkhana, where you gotta spin around an object.
I just don't think those modes are fun enough for me to keep doing them over and over again to get a platinum.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. I think it depends on which challenge you're talking about. There's some of them where you can kind of cheese them a little bit.
Hmm.
Like the Gymkhana attacks or the Gymkhana sprints, it just tells you to do them all in order, and all it wants is like just either ace it or get 2 stars or something like that, depending on the stunt. And so for drifting, it'll almost accept a 1-star drift, so or 1-triangle drift, I should say. So you can just drift for speed at that point and just cheese that. Donuts, you have to do 3 stars, but that you can just get 1 good run, and if you mess it up, then use the flashback system, jump back and try it again until you finally nail it with some speed. And the spin system is actually very, very generous in what it lets you get away with. I didn't even stop flat for one of my spins, and it just gave me the full credit, basically.
And it doesn't seem to be generous on the hidden stuff in the parking lot.
The hidden stuff's a pain in the ass, I won't lie. That stuff, they really could have spelled it out better.
Yeah.
Because it's like they expect you. The way they describe it is almost like they expect you to go wandering around the Battersea compound and just, do stunts on random and then fall into these missions, and that's
No.
not fun.
No. That sounds like work.
I actually did that too.
I would be much more content if they just put like those stunt graphics on every single trick in the compound
Yeah.
and just had me do every single trick in the compound.
Yeah.
I would rather have 300 missions like that than 80 vague missions.
I just want more jumps.
Yeah, jumps would be nice too.
Want backflip
Yeah.
jumps. I want to do a backflip in a car.
That would be nice, but I don't think that's really been perfected yet.
No, you have to have a special ramp and you have to have special suspension.
Yeah.
And if anything goes wrong, you'll do a side flip and you'll hurt yourself really badly. But anyway, I still want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. I think really what you want out of this is you want a stunt 2049, or not a stunt, a rush 2049 stunt mode.
Yes, I do. And also Rally.
Yeah.
I want both. But
We need a new San Francisco Rush game that doesn't suck, period.
yeah.
I don't think I ever played that.
San Francisco Rush 2 Extreme Racing USA is probably the best of the series to pick up.
I have,
Yeah.
yeah.
It had just a bunch of really weird tracks and this great stunt mode where you just had a bunch of silly objects. You got bonus points for flipping, and you had to land it, though, of course, to get any credit.
Which was damn near impossible.
It was damn near impossible times, but there are some pretty nice stunts you could land, like twisting
Barrel
your car
rolls.
around about 70 times before landing after.
Epic
You guys
barrel
were
rolls.
talking about Trackmania last week, and I remember there was a game called Trackmania Nations or something like that, and you could
Yeah.
make all sorts of crazy tracks where, like, I'd be totally confused about what orientation my car was in because I wasn't sure if I was upside down or not, or in, like, loops and things like that.
Yeah, that is the heart of Trackmania right there, is being
Yeah.
confused where you are and where you're going in a lot of the multiplayer tracks.
I didn't know they had multiple types of cars in that game until the other day.
Yeah, well, Nations, I think, doesn't have more than just the one car for the
Oh,
set.
no, I think
No,
that was
no.
the new one.
The fancy one, but it was on sale yesterday or something.
Oh, that's cool, because that is worth picking up, I have to say.
I didn't.
That's okay. One day it will be cheaper and you'll buy it again. Or you'll
Yeah.
buy it first time, rather.
Someday I'll have a video card.
Someday you'll have a video card. So Dirt 3, I think we all think it's a great game. We'll be playing it and have more thoughts in it as time progresses.
Weather effects are really good.
Oh, the weather effects are awesome. You know what the greatest part of it for me was? When I use in-car camera mode, and I
All the
was,
time?
not all the time. The buggies, I go onto the hood, and then
Yeah.
for any Gymkhana stuff, I go onto the hood as well.
What about multiplayer?
Multiplayer, I stay in the car because, oh, this is actually really good.
This is why you get crashed into.
No, this is a thing. Unlike Forza, in car, you can't see mirrors and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
In Dirt, it makes a point that every car you're in, you can see the mirrors without having to look around.
And in any of the other views, do you have mirrors?
Actually, I don't have
Not
mirrors on
really.
the hood, no. So it's actually better for me to be in car because I can see the cars behind me.
Oh, so that's why you always get crashed into because we're not using the in-car view.
Yes, exactly, because you cocksuckers don't know what you're doing.
That's not fair.
I want a mirror.
You see? Kevin wants a
Oh,
mirror because he's a courteous driver,
but
Slowbird.
I don't
I
want to be
didn't
in car
friggin'
because I
do
can't see half the screen. Oh,
it.
and
I.
you can't look side to side all the way to the side. You can only look at an angle.
Right. But another thing I do like about it is the game makes a very concerted effort to warn you when cars are around you. It has a little arrow system
Yeah.
that you can see how close the car is based on the transparent the arrow is or not
I did not know
in
that.
the
Where do these
direction.
arrows come up?
These arrows come up, yeah, when cars are just around you and just in the corners of the screen, they'll
Oh.
appear and sweep around. As you pass somebody, like if you pass somebody on the left, you can watch the right side of your screen and watch their arrow go from the right side to down.
Yeah.
And basically, that sort of stuff's a good way to warn, when you need to watch your ass essentially around a turn.
I noticed something
What's that?
in multiplayer. Well, I don't know about single player, but when you're in multiplayer and someone is lapped down and you are the leader, and you come along to pass them, they turn into a ghost.
Oh, interesting. I did not realize.
Even if they're at full speed, like not just like Forza does when they're crashing. No, if they're full speed but they're a lap down, you don't have to worry about them.
So that's preventing a lot of griefing in that.
Exactly.
Wow, that's nice. I did not even realize that. So you must have caught up the Freak Nasty at some point.
No, this was in a Pro Tour race where it was like somebody was really bad at the back.
Gotcha. Clearly belonging in Pro Tour.
Yep.
It's a very interesting game, but getting back to the whole reason I was talking to IndyCar in the first place, I was on a stage where it was absolutely just coming down huge in snow. I think it was the Norway rally stage, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told to cut a corner, left two cut. So I cut. It turned out there was a bit of brush in the way, and it kind of took out my windshield. Just completely knocked it out. And so I'm there, and as I keep driving, all of a sudden I notice the snow is flying into the car and against the screen.
Whoa.
And just sticking there briefly, which, as far as I'm concerned, that is freaking awesome.
Wow, yeah. That is awesome. I noticed in one of the replays that it seems like some of the bushes are deformable also.
Yeah, I think they are. The moral of the story is, though, if you say left to cut and it's not cuttable, don't say cut.
Yeah. There's the one turn that looks like you should be able to cut it. They don't say cut, but it looks like you should be able to cut it, and then there's a freaking log there.
Yeah. Well, that's why they don't say cut.
They should say don't cut.
Yeah, it's true. They should say
or
don't cut.
Or big freaking log here. Don't cut, you idiot.
Well, they don't have time to say that, so don't
they
cut
need to, they need to freak out more, though, when you're crashing.
They kind of freak out.
A little bit, but not really.
They did a good job of that in Dirt 2, I thought. I could remember times where I swear that they kind of got freaked out if you hit a jump or hit something weird while they were reading off instructions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But it's not extreme enough.
No, it's, you know, that would be really nice if I'm going off track a bit and my co-driver freaks out. Although, by the same token, if he's enwrapped in his notes enough, he shouldn't notice that we're about to die.
If he's if he's enwrapped by a tree enough, he should.
Ouch.
No, but seriously.
Yeah.
That would probably be bad if there was horrible, agonizing screams of pain when you crashed into something.
No. I like the way they do that now when you total your car. It just cuts outside, shows the slow motion of you crashing.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to, I'm trying to think, I think it's the speed you were going, the force of the impact,
yeah,
and how far you were into the race.
I really like that. That's really cool.
One thing that I noticed in the multiplayer is when you're crashing, it's as if, a camera is on, like they're using a video camera to record you because it gets kind of fuzzy.
Right.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that artifacting, and that's
it's
neat.
It's replicating as if you, as if people were watching the feed that you're seeing, as if that's your in-car camera, and then the camera gets fuzzy during a crash, or the car rolls over and the video cuts out.
Yeah.
That was kind
of love that.
It's continuing that sort of Kane and Lynch 2 type tradition of, you know, deinterlacing or whatever it is and all the artifacting, that sort of thing.
I think Dirt 2 did that before Kane and Lynch 2 even.
It may have. I don't know. I don't have not played enough of Dirt 2 to really know. But probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it did do that sort of staticky thing anytime a car drove through the camera.
Or went upside down, I believe.
Oh, true. Yeah. That's also true. That's interesting. Dirt 3, again, more thoughts on it as we progress through the weeks, and especially as we go through a race night this upcoming Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Please join us. And we move on to Forza 4, yet again, because we have news now, for once, finally, news.
Yep, they've officially announced the acronym is the number 4 and the letters Z.
No, they have not, you son of a bitch.
They will.
Never do that. That is a bad idea.
I'm going to find Brian Ekberg and convince him to put that into at least one press release, and then you'll owe me $10. I bet you $10 that'll be in at least one press release.
I'm going to bet you $10 it won't be.
I just said, I just proved it will be by telling you my plan.
Yeah, but you know what the funny thing is? I'm going to be going to PAX Prime, where Brian Ekberg might be, and you're not.
I don't care. I have the internet.
You have the internet. Yes, you go ahead and you try. You try your little plan. It won't work. They won't ever want to do that. Whoever puts Forza into... And actually, let's add a little stipulation to this. If somebody does put
number ZA.
Exactly. Here we go with this again. The number 4, then ZA, and they get fired, it does not count. And they have to get fired as a result of doing that.
So you're saying I can't go get a temp job?
Yeah, you can't get fired because you tried putting 4ZA in there.
What if Exhibit started working at Turn 10? Would they do it then?
No, they wouldn't. And I really, really think you're reaching for this one, and you're going to owe me $10 when this is all said and done.
You are going
to owe me $10.
I'm not betting you anymore.
What, you're not? You already want to cancel this bet?
I don't have $10.
$10 internet dollars, which means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
800 Microsoft points.
I'll tell you what, if they do, I think that my end is significantly less likely, so I think it should be, if I win, I get 10, and if you win, you get 1.
So, why would I want to put 800 Microsoft points online for the chance at 80?
Because you're going to win 80, most likely.
Yeah, this isn't worth it for me anymore.
Okay, well then.
The risk-reward here has gone significantly down.
I don't even know how to gift 80 Microsoft points anyway.
The Department of Homeland Security is going to show up at your doors for internet gambling.
Anyways, Forza Motorsport 4, which does not use a number in its name other than at the end of Forza Motorsport, is announcing its pre-order deals. Which, I mean, it's kind of interesting, the lineup here. We've got every retailer, basically, that's significant, and is going to be allowing for pre-orders for Forza 4, is going to have a special car that only they give away, apparently.
None of them are important.
None of them are important, but I have to think they're going to be selling these either in the limited edition collector's edition, whatever it's called, or like it's going to eventually come out on its own.
Like the WRX STI, I mean, that has to be in the game other than just being available in pre-order. I mean, it's an Impreza. It's like...
Yeah, they're going to get some really angry Subaru fans if they don't eventually put that in. But those Subaru fans could also order from Amazon.com.
True.
And available at Best Buy is the BMW 1 Series M Coupe, so we know we're GT fans ordering.
I would probably pre-order from there as well.
I don't like that car.
Trade stuff in.
I think that car is dumb.
Like it. Yeah,
it's too bloated. It looks like a BMW that ate too much ice cream.
it does. Yeah, the flares and stuff like that are a little bit over the top. But
no, just the old overall, like even the regular 1 Series looks like that.
I'm not a huge fan of the 1 Series, but I think it's kind of getting back to BMW's roots a bit, so I understand why they
make
it
more boxy. I need more box in my BMW.
I'd like to drive it in Forza.
You know, I sort of agree with the whole... BMWs to me are boxy, and that's how they should be.
Yeah.
I don't like... They need to sort of be one of the people that bucks the whole trend of curving everything.
Yeah, like Volvo.
Yeah, sort of, but not like Volvo, where they decide to have safety over, actual speed.
Turbos.
But other than that, BMW really does not do much for me, so they're out.
Okay.
GameStop has the Alfa Romeo Giulietta Quadrifoglio Verde Parmesan Vercetti Alfredo.
Very pretty car.
I'm ordering it now just because of the name.
It's a very complicated name. Actually, only 3 of those words were inserted in by me or so.
And I'm pretty sure it was, I'm not the not Alfredo.
Yeah, Alfa Romeo Giulietta Quadrifoglio. Foglio.
Quadrifoglio.
Yeah, Quadrifoglio Verde.
Yeah,
Giulietta Quadrifoglio Verde.
Booga da baba, booba da baba.
Oh, God. That's racist.
Yes.
Just because you have a mustache doesn't mean you can speak Italian.
Maybe Sloper is Italian. How do you know he's not?
I am part Italian.
Oh, you are part Italian. Okay, you there get you away go. With it then. You can
you
do
can
that.
You can make fun of Italian people.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. And the part of me that is Italian is why I like pizza.
Hey, I was going to ask you about spaghetti, because pizza's not really all that Italian.
Not the way that North America eats it.
What about Stromboli? I like Stromboli.
Stromboli, that sounds pretty Italian to me.
I don't know
what the hell it is, but it sounds Italian.
It's like a calzone, but not.
Okay, yeah, that's Italian.
Yeah, I'm a fan of those.
Either that or Greek. I think it's Italian.
Spaghetti is just noodles and sauce. I don't associate that with Italy at all.
Oh, okay, see, I kind of do. That's.
I know that's.
I like pasta.
I know they like it and they eat it, but I don't like it that much unless I have that shake cheese on there.
See, that's like that's really, really fake Parmesan. Well, it's not, it's real Parmesan, but that's not the way Parmesan should be.
Yes, it is. It's the exact. I could just drink that.
How is this a?
We are food night.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying, this is the Italian car. We need to start talking about Italian food, okay? Capisce?
Yes.
It's not my favorite Alfa Romeo, though.
It is not my favorite either, but I'm glad they're not locking away the 8C.
If I needed a four-door hatchback and they sold that car here, I would consider it.
Yeah. I don't like the 8C as much as some people either.
I love the 8C. That's a beautiful S car.
Give me a 155 GTA.
Yeah, I can agree there. That's a nice
I like the classic Alfa Romeos.
Now, if you're unfortunate enough to wander into a Walmart and pre-order Forza Motorsport 4, you will get a mini John Cooper Works Clubman.
It's kind of nice, but it seems like that should already be in the game, too.
Well, here's the thing. They should just have a plain-ass mini in the game.
The original mini?
Yeah. I mean, the original mini, and there's... the ones they have out right now aren't all the John Cooper Works Clubmen, so just give me that.
Yeah. You know what does have an original mini in it? Dirt 3.
That is
the
true.
The Clubman is the one with the doors at the back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why would I want that one? Why do I want a bigger mini in a game?
Because it will hold more...
Do I need practicality in Forza? Am I carrying things in Forza?
Here's why. Because you can open up those doors in the new Kinect mode, and it'll be really cool to see them open.
True, yeah.
And here, using the Kinect functionality, you can see that this Mini has a back seat.
Cram it in the boot!
I don't want a bigger wheelbase.
I don't know. I really don't like Mini going this route of making their cars bigger.
No.
I like the Rally
version. The Rally version of the... what's the SUV called?
Oh, God.
Clubhouse? I don't know.
The Countryman.
The Countryman, yes.
Yeah. I do.
That Rally version of that looks kind of neat, I have to
admit. That's in Dirt 3 also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a decent car. But still, Mini to me is tiniest car that feels like a go-kart. You get in it, you enjoy it. That's what it should be.
Yeah, okay.
And finally, if you shop at Target...
I do. Sometimes.
Well, you used to work there, so...
I still work there.
Oh, you still work there, okay.
On Saturdays.
Gotcha, okay.
Anyway.
The Honda CR-Z EX. The Sport Hybrid.
I'm still kind of...
I'm a fan of Hondas, and I don't like that car.
I'm still kind of thinking I might get that one just to be ironic.
Sport Hybrid.
Hipster.
We want the power, but we're a hybrid.
I'm a hipster. I'm buying that one.
Oh my God, that is... They might as well give you a Prius.
Yeah, that car did not live up to the expectations of being a CRX revival.
How could it? It's got 8,000 pounds of batteries in it.
True.
If you took the hybrid drivetrain out and put like some other...
The K20 in, like what everybody wants them to do?
Yeah, just bolt that in. You'd have the car that you want.
I don't think it fits, because I think a tuner would have done it by now. The tuners are just... fiddling with the 1.3 liter or 1.5 liter, I think it is.
They're just lazy. Anything can fit in anything. You might just have to put it in the back seat, though.
That is not a car for racing. That's getting kind of Gran Turismo-ish with the car selection.
They put LS2s into Genesis coupes. People who blow out their 2 liter turbos because they tune them too much. Uh-huh. And then they're like, I have no engine now. I will buy a Corvette V8. Because they're relatively cheap and they fit into lots of things.
Yeah.
They do.
Or they could have just used the exact Mitsubishi engine instead of a watered down version of it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's the same block design, but it's less meat in it.
All things said, I'm still waiting for what they're going to do. They have not revealed any details or any price point for the limited collector's edition, so I'm waiting for that personally.
I wonder what they'll include this time. I'm using the keychain now. I've never used the USB stick.
See, I've used the crap out of the USB stick, but I've never used the keychain.
I started using the keychain recently.
Okay,
apparently, once it starts getting banged up, it starts turning gold.
Oh, nice. That's not even really better. Good quality.
No, it's not. I think K4Z was telling me that it starts turning gold.
Wow, well,
that's what you want, right? You want gold bling.
Like, the silver starts coming off and, like, weird... goldish yellow.
Oh, Jesus, that's crap.
That sounds like every toy I ever had.
I'm pretty sure someone on race night, most likely Hay4Z, told me that.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That's just, oh my goodness, that is crap.
How big is the USB stick? 2 gig?
Yeah, it's 2 gig or so.
I should use it for something.
I was using it a bit, and then all of a sudden started wearing out and started having data issues, and I lost
really?
My Xbox Live profile trying to use it for switching between my Xbox and my family Xbox for Rock Band.
Oh.
And at that point, after recovering back to my console, I decided, okay, I'm retiring the stick, never using it again.
It's framed now.
Yeah, it's just, it's not trustworthy. It broke my heart once, now it has to get whacked.
I would much rather have something decorative and useless for my collector's edition.
Yeah, you said you wanted a statue of the Stig.
No, that was Falcon.
Oh, okay, of course it'd be Falcon, because he's a Stig.
Yeah, yeah. He wants a statue of himself, is what really it is.
Yeah. He is not the Stig.
No.
No.
No, I want, like, I want you to be able to get different collector's editions based on what automotive dealership you buy it at, and I would go to the Ford dealer and buy it, and it would come with a Ford GT model car.
You know, that's an interesting idea, but I don't think that would ever happen.
They used to sell, well, they still do, I think. They sell promos of cars at dealerships. You can buy little plastic cars.
Yeah, you can. They do have little dinky things like that that they all sell at their stores and that sort of
thing. So just attach a copy of Forza to it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just want there to be... I want the limited collector's edition to have all these cars that I've just named off. The Subaru, the BMW, the Alfa Romeo, the Mini, and the Honda.
Yeah.
And maybe give me another car or two, but definitely give me VIP access in the storefront and maybe some free DLC in the future. That's all I want.
What does VIP access in the storefront actually do?
You remember in Forza 2 when you were able to feature auctions?
Oh.
It gives you automatically feature status.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is nice because you almost guarantee getting something sold at a decent price then. Because that's actually what I used to do when I actually used the auction house to buy cars, which is pretty much useless now because nobody really wants to at the storefront.
Right, yeah. I used to just buy cars with cool paint schemes on there, but now I just use the storefront for paint schemes.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. But by the same token, it's like if I want a car specifically for being the car that it is,
yeah,
I just go down and look at the earliest to expire auctions that are not featured.
And sometimes they're cheaper than the real cost.
Well, not only are they cheaper, but they won't be sniped as often.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people who look in the sniper are watching all the freshest auctions at the very top of the list, which are all featured by VIPs and the such. And that's how you get a bunch of money.
How do you look at the non-featured ones?
Scroll down.
Scroll down.
Oh.
Which means you have to search pretty specifically in some cases.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Sure. It's kind of a broken thing, but then again, it's the auction house. Nobody really cares anymore.
I hope Forza 4 lets you save searches that you search for a lot.
That'd be nice.
Like Chevy stock car or whatever. So you don't have to scroll over to Chevy, then scroll over to stock car.
Yeah,
then scroll down and hit X and type in a thing every time.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, the menus in Forza are like miles ahead of Gran Turismo 5.
Yes, they are.
That's because it has menus.
Gran Turismo 5 is just painful.
Those are not menus. Gran Turismo 5 has like somebody's 80-year-old grandma's computer's desktop icons for its layout.
Slower, I'm going to put a PR spin on this. They're called impairment devices.
That's yeah. So like my computer is off to the right, and then like the recycle bin is up in the top left corner for some reason, and then there's like 800. Word documents all over the place that are obscuring the files, the icons that you really want to click on. And then someone played a prank on her and made a screenshot of it and then hid them all, and so now you can't click on any of them because it's just a static image.
Impairment devices?
Speaking of PS3, I played a bit of MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Oh, what'd you think about that?
It was actually in multiplayer split screen, you cannot see anything, and I was just horrible at it. In full screen, it's actually kind of fun. It was, there's, the levels, are, like, extremely destructible, and there's modes where the level starts falling apart as you race through it, so you go do one lap, and then the next lap, it's kind of different because, like, a building has fallen over, or, like, a tree is in the way now, or, there's one track where you're going, like, it's called Skyline, and you're driving over these rooftops and, like, just smashing through glass and all sorts of stuff. And I can and like you can the weather's really good in it too, and like it was fun. I liked it.
I'm always open to the possibility of needing to turn my PS3 on again.
Yes. Yeah. If I can pick that up for like $40 or less, I'd consider it.
It sounds like that might happen because it has not been reviewing well that I've seen.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of complaints about the way it handles crashing and having to, you know, deal with what's an obstacle and what's not an obstacle.
Yeah, that was a problem. Yeah, definitely. There's things where you're like, I should be able to drive through this, but because I can drive through this much bigger thing. but yeah, then this thing stops me dead. But,
that is unfortunate.
It was fun for a while.
That's good. That's good. It's that game showed a lot of promise. It kind of reminded me of a Split Second, except without the, you know, force or the user controlled detonations rather.
Yeah.
But it seemed very epic in that same scale, which is nice.
I never played Split Second. You really liked that, right?
I did quite like that.
I remember.
A lot of complaints people had were that, oh, once you've seen the explosions, you've seen it all. You don't ever have to, you know, see it again. I don't agree with that at all. I think the big explosions, once you see them, you get that wow factor out of the way, and all of a sudden then it comes down to business where it is, okay, I know this can blow up and this can blow up, and this could all come down on me and destroy me. So now I know, you know, the risk-reward lines I can take.
Who was that game made by?
That game was made by Black Rock Studios, being published by Disney.
Oh, I thought Disney was involved in that somehow.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and this is so unfortunate, Black Rock Studios is basically being cut down in size, and it's not likely they're going to survive much longer.
Oh.
And as the same token, even though Split Second ends in a cliffhanger, there's not going to be a sequel.
Oh.
Which, that sucks, because that game deserves a sequel.
Yeah, called Split Second 2, The Next Split Second, or something.
Well,
like
no,
that.
The ending of Split Second, and I know I'm spoiling this, so if nobody's going to
spoiler alert!
Not worried about it.
There's another. All of a sudden, the city starts blowing up thanks to another organization, apparently a show in the 80s that did the same sort of thing, but then got banned for being too violent. And their producers have come back to try and take over the show and declare war and that sort of thing. And so it's, you know, Split Reaction versus Split Second.
That's interesting.
It would be interesting if they actually decided to pursue some sort of storyline like that, that I would enjoy that. But unfortunately, not so much. Which is a shame, because all the shows that claim this is a reality television program, live beaming to homes, the only one that's really gotten that mood right has been Split Second.
Really?
I mean, I can't think of another show or another game that's done that so well.
Okay.
Everything about it feels like a real TV show, all the way down to the music and the presentation and everything.
Oh, cool. I was not even aware that that was its thing.
Oh, yeah, it's really neat. I'll have to link some videos to you after this, because the presentation is amazing.
Is it really cheap now?
It should be really cheap now. I bet you can find it for $20 places.
I need to start writing these things down. I was supposed to buy Grid, that, and some other things, too. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the money, I think. If you can find it for $20, it's definitely worth it, and I would recommend it to anyone without hesitation. But getting back into Forza 4 and the pre-order stuff, not only are there the cars for each retailer, there's also, and according to my Google shopping search, Xbox 360, it says it can be as low as $11 in some places. So, yeah, Split Second, get it. There's also 5 cars for Forza Motorsport 4 that are going to be part of the first wave limited edition release, kind of like what Need for Speed has been doing in the last few games.
And Bad Company 2.
Oh, that's right. Bad Company 2 had something like that too, didn't they?
Yeah. The first run gave you extra access to maps and shit.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. There's 5 cars, and anybody who's interested in Forza, I would recommend picking up a copy in the first wave, because some of these cars are pretty neat.
Ford Mustang.
Ford Mustang GT Coupe 1965.
Carroll Shelby.
One of these cars is not like the other, though.
Yeah.
It stands out like a sore thumb.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I want that car. That's the reason why. You know, even if I had no money to get a limited collector's edition, I would get the first wave because of that car. But we'll get down to it, because it's at the bottom of this list.
Oh no, I mean no, the one in the middle I think stands out as not being like the others.
Okay, well we'll keep going then.
No, that car is a classic.
A 1997 classic.
There's oh,
a cult, there's
that
a cult
one.
Following for those.
Is
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is.
It's called the Toyota Sora or something, I think.
Yeah, those, people love those cars in Japan.
Yeah.
And so
that's why they're including it.
Yeah, well we will love it too as soon as we learn to love the bomb.
And then they also have the Koenigsegg Agera from
Koenigsegg.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to go Top Gear on it.
I do.
The Agera, from the Swedish verb to act, celebrates 15 years of Koenigsegg's uncompromising philosophy of making dream cars that don't handle worth a shit.
I'm guessing it looks like the other Koenigseggs, but has like some special spoiler on it.
It has a special paint job on it.
Oh. Okay.
It looks like every other Koenigsegg.
That's typical.
Yeah, it's like they don't know how to make cars that look different.
It's like a Zonda.
No, hey, if you look at the Huayra, or whatever it's called.
Oh.
Wait, the
Zonda Huevos?
Yeah, it's sort of Huevos Grande. It's like that track in a super off-road.
Huevos means balls.
I thought it meant eggs.
Does it really?
I thought it meant eggs. I really did.
Well, exactly.
I mean eggs, but not like those eggs.
It's a slang term, I guess, but yeah.
Okay. Well, regardless, it's a Koenigsegg, and Pagani's cars are starting to look different, but not for the better. They need to stick to looking what they used to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that car looks kind of like a fish.
Yeah, it does. It looks like crap.
Looks like a 2002 Camaro.
I wouldn't go that far, but
That's a catfish.
I would go more with your idea of it looks like a 2002 idea of what a supercar should be by a college student who's working on making dream cars.
It looks like a prototype Pikes Peak Hyundai.
It's kind of like, to go back to really vague knowledge here, it's like L.A. Rush back when they said, oh, we're going to make all these, you know, students that are going to be future car designers, we're going to make them make our special concept cars in the game, and they all look like generic shit.
Was that the most modern one?
Yeah, I never played it. I think the most modern one. I think it still was for the original Xbox and not the 360.
Yeah, but I mean, like, not N64.
Yeah, it was. Okay. And that was the first one to deviate away from the San Francisco Rush side of things, which there's a reason why they needed to stay there and not do what they did.
And not go, maybe.
That was terrible. The third car on the list, one you claim is so controversial or cult classic, the Lexus SC300 1997. Don't they have that as like a Super GT car in Japan?
They used, no.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, that's the newer version of it. Yeah, kind of, but not the old version.
The SC430?
Yeah. Exactly.
Might be. I think that might be it. But
it's the same model, but a different generation.
Do they still sell the SC430? That thing was ugly.
I think they're done. I think they're finally done.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would buy that.
It looks really good in race version.
Yeah, I think personally Lexus is ugly as shit. All their cars.
I don't know. I don't mind the IS.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm not. Right. It doesn't do anything for me.
You mean a Toyota Altezza? The car that spawned Altezza taillights.
What
a failure.
I think Lexus now has a brand in a presence in Japan, and I think it's called the IS there as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but originally...
I don't think they sell it as an Altezza.
They used to, though.
The original Altezza had a nice engine in it. It had the Supra's straight six.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the SC300, I don't know what anybody sees in it, but I don't know what anybody sees in the Lexus, so if people are going to enjoy that or maybe not, I don't really care, to be honest.
I'm going to use it a lot, just to spite you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, too. If you want to, feel free or send me like 10 copies.
Yeah, okay.
Or as it comes out. Like, for the record, for anybody who's not in the know, Kevel, after I complained, or after I said I was relieved to be done with driving CTSVs, sent me about 10 of them.
Actually, that's quite a gross exaggeration.
It is a gross exaggeration, but that's a funnier story. They did have ridiculous paint jobs. Yep.
Not ridiculous enough to get them deleted by Microsoft, though.
Yeah, that's thankfully true. The next two cars out of these five are my favorites of the whole list here.
Blasphemy.
The last one especially. But the fourth car of the five that are going to be part of the first wave of Forza Motorsport 4, the RUF RGT8 from 2011. And I think, I don't remember to be sure if it was in Forza 1 or not, but I think that might be RUF's debut in Forza.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might have been in Forza 1.
I thought RUF is always in games because Porsche doesn't want to license their cars. But
that was what they did for Gran Turismo, because they couldn't get Porsche to be licensed because they were tied to EA at the time.
Right. And still are, or are they?
I think they still are.
Porsche is in Forza, though.
Yeah, so this is really nothing special.
It's nothing all that special, but I think it's interesting that it's RUF.
Let me look up this car. What Porsche is that based on?
Oh, I don't even know.
It's a 911 of some sort.
Yeah, it's
but it's got a V8.
It looks like a supercar.
How'd they get a V8?
Oh, does it? Are you sure?
The description says
4.5-liter V8.
The GT8 is powered by a 4.5-liter V8 engine that has been fine-tuned to deliver unmatchable sports car power and curb appeal.
I was thinking it's either...
There's something on Autoblog about it.
Is it the Carrera GT but tuned?
It might be, yeah.
It's not a Carrera GT. It is a 911 with a V8 in the back.
What the fuck? Okay, I'm instantly more interested in it now.
See? Yeah. See? RUF makes some really fucked up Porsches.
I was hoping it was like a tuned version of the Cayenne or something.
Bright green. Yeah. I don't know how they fit that in there.
Or a Panamera. But anyway, that's
like,
awesome.
It looks like a whole... Oh, you know what they probably did? They probably just tore up the back seats.
They moved it up a bunch.
Yeah.
Which also makes me more interested.
It's probably a mid-engine... Essentially, then, it's a mid-engine 911.
It's a V8-powered Cayman.
Well, with a 911 body.
Same thing. They look the same. They're all the same. All Porsches are the same forever, all time.
Oh, dear. Don't even go down that road.
The only reason the Cayman is slower than the base 911, the Cayman S, is because they won't put a limited slip differential in it. Otherwise it would be faster.
Yeah.
It fits too nicely. The reason the Cayman exists is to fill an almost non-existent hole in the lineup. They had a nice platform. And they wanted to make a coupe version out of it.
Yeah.
People don't like convertibles.
That's a shame.
Hopefully they don't, because is Rust's relationship with Porsche good?
I thought it was.
I can't see it being bad.
Wouldn't they be like, you jerks, you're licensing our cars to...
It's not a matter of Porsche not wanting to license their cars, it's just that they can't because they already have that deal with EA. For that one game they made. One game.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like, Corvette or Ford being angry at Celine for their cars.
Ta-da 2 only had Rust as well.
Yeah.
Rough is basically who you go to if you want a Porsche and you don't want to pay Porsche.
I'm guessing Forza has the exclusive Porsche license now, though.
I don't think it's exclusive, but
GTA. GT5 does not have Porsches, does it?
So
I
can't remember. There must be a reason.
I don't know. I don't think Polyphony Digital is very fond of Porsche after being snubbed by them.
Right.
And I think Kazunori Yamauchi is the kind of person who would willingly, hold a grudge like that. He's kind of like the Vince McMahon of racing games, in that he holds petty feuds and does shitty stuff like that, I think. And I'm making gross exaggerations about him, because I barely know who he is, but from the design and the way Gran Turismo's grown, I can't help but feel that way. But that said, RUF rough aside, we got one more car on this list, and it's amazing.
Oh, so you don't like hybrids, but you like completely electric cars.
I'm just saying, listen to that sound. That's the sound it makes. That is its sound. No, that's just the wind whipping by it right there.
That's the electric motor going bad. We need new bearings. it's blowing up. It's blowing up.
Tesla Roadster Sport from 2011.
If it's anything like the electric motors I've dealt with, it will fail after being run around a slot car track way too long and fast.
It's not a slot car, and it's not going to blow up because it is in Forza, where nothing blows up ever.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It is going to be awesome because they hopefully will not make any sound at all.
They should make tire noise.
To drive.
Yeah, they'll make tire noise, and they'll make maybe a little sound.
You will need to run. You will have to turn braking line on for those.
I won't.
How do you drive without the sound of your car?
You find a way.
No, you crash into a wall is how.
We're going to do a lot of those races then, the practice. It's going to be like Jedi, you know, training or whatever. That's going to be the orb shooting lasers at you right there.
No, because Falcon won't buy the game until the second wave, and we won't have that car, and we won't be able to do it.
We need to do a Forza 4 race where we all promise to close our eyes and see who wins.
That seems like we would have to do that in person somehow.
Yeah, that's like an in-person thing, because that's pretty fucked up.
Honor system.
Honor system means Falcon wins.
We ban Falcon.
Whoa. He won't have that car anyway, so...
That's my worst idea since backwards Beetle racing.
Yeah, that is seriously a worse idea than the backwards Beetle
racing. Hey, I've had some good ideas, like budget racing.
You've had good ideas, yes, but that is not one of them. That is not one of them. Closing your eyes, and then, okay, I hear road, grass, 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 grass. I don't know which way to turn, it's still grass. It doesn't work.
You do it on a simple track.
We could, but it's still... I guarantee you it would take about 5 times as long to complete any laps or races. If, at least. I don't know if we'd ever finish.
It would make for an interesting video.
How about we just agree to mute our TV and try a no-sound race someday?
Yeah, that'd be something I'd get behind.
Because that will show you how hard Teslas are to drive.
Or we could just wait for Forza 4 and get a Tesla Roadster Sport 2011.
I want more Ford in my car that makes no noise.
We could all buy Lotus Exiges, somehow make them really heavy by putting 20-inch wheels on them.
Yeah.
And then turn off our volume.
There we go. I like this video. Oh my god, we have horrible ideas and this is why we are race night.
Yes.
One more thing with Forza Motorsport 4 though that has been very interesting. Very good. A lot of people were complaining, hey, I've put a lot of effort into Forza Motorsport 3, and I don't want to lose my shit. And Turn 10 has listened. Sort of.
With Profile Import.
Profile Import. A unique feature for Forza Motorsport 4, which rewards fans for their time, quote-unquote.
Yep. Your profile will be an import car.
Basically. Based on your player level and the cars in your garage, it says that, so it doesn't seem like it cares... about how far you've gotten in the season mode or anything, just whether you're level 50 or not, and how many cars you have in your garage, so I guess buy a bunch of cars before you, you know...
Done.
Yeah.
Use up all your money.
Yeah, use up all your money. I'm up for that. I like spending money.
Woo-hoo.
I got your money.
Until you find out that you can import your money, too.
That's gonna... Oh, fuck.
I get the impression that it's not a linear import.
Guys, I don't know what to do.
It's like, for every 10 cars you have, we will give you one gift car or something like that.
You know what it probably is? It probably is the gift cars they gave out for Forza Motorsport 3 are the ones that are going to go into Forza Motorsport 4 just like that.
Oh, that's the worst.
But that's probably what it's
going to be. What if I repainted them?
Yeah, I want them to be repainted, actually.
I still need to sell that Ferrari. I've never actually used it, I think. Actually, I maybe used it once.
I'm keeping that Ferrari. I love that thing. Drives like a dream.
Does it?
A dream that's very old. it's a nice car.
Orange dreamsicle.
I need to paint it something else.
Yeah.
Paint it orange.
Here's the thing. As long as you drive it with the knowledge that you're not going to win in it, you'll do okay. And in some cases, you'll even win. You can't drive the aggressive expectation, I'm going to win in this old-ass Ferrari.
True.
And I take that same attitude with any old car, and it works pretty well. But the even better news about this profile import... Anybody who's created liveries, layers, vinyls, all that stuff, you can import it into Forza 4, verbatim.
Yeah.
So, you know, ask your friends who've made cool paint jobs to gift them to you and then steal them.
Yep. Unlocked, please.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going to grab every unlocked possible thing I can get, all the prize cars, all that stuff, and I'm going to import so much shit, and I'll be happy.
You're going to see some serious shit.
I'm really interested in seeing the details in Forza Motorsport 4 for the limited collector's edition.
Yes, definitely.
That's where
if you pre-order now, then what are you pre-ordering? The regular version?
You're pre-ordering the regular version, yeah. I looked at Amazon. So then, that's all they have SKU-wise.
That's kind of dumb.
Insane, some might say.
Some people
are insane with a 1 in it. like,
because I think a lot of people will be like,
in it.
Oh, cool, I want one of those cars. I'm going to pre-order. Then they're going to be like, hey, I want the limited collector's edition. I have to go back now and cancel my pre-order and change it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think they probably could have held off a little bit, but I don't know if that means that they're not going to announce a limited collector's edition at E3 and they just wanted to get ahead of all the E3 buzz, or
it
what
says
deal
stay tuned
doing.
For more announcements at E3.
It doesn't say that on limited collector's edition, though. It says stay tuned for announcements below for Forza 4 in general. But for limited collector's edition, it doesn't say when they're going to announce that.
What else could they announce?
They could announce tracks, they could announce their association with Top Gear, they could announce clubs and how that's going to work. They could announce a bunch of new cars they've licensed that are going to be in their game first before any other car, new tracks. There's a lot they could really work with.
Perhaps they will announce that they're... Oh, there! Damn it. They already said there is a limited edition. I was going to say they will announce that there won't be one. Deal with it.
Oh, where did it say that there's... Oh, there.
Rev up for the limited collector's edition that we don't know anything about yet, because like all the other things we announce in advance, it'll probably backfire and we'll have
better
to
not
be give you any
ridiculously expensive. Like, the last one was reasonably more than the other one. I just liked how the box was really fancy.
I want a $300 version that comes with a remote control car.
No, I don't want that.
I want a $16,000 version that comes with a real car.
Look, here's the thing, is they've been talking about what they might put in the limited collector's edition. They've been tossing that around a bit. And they were asking people, hey, what would you really like? And one of the ideas they were bouncing around quite a bit, and who knows if this is actually going to be a thing. This might be a big E3 announcement here.
It's a pair of pants.
With one leg on them.
Well, scratch my idea, a pair of pants. That would be something I would put money towards.
Yeah, and it says Forza... It says Forza on the ass cheeks.
Racing pants.
I got racing pants. Now I need pants.
Leather pants. They're leather pants.
But
no.
I think the one thing they've been talking about is a steering wheel, a racing wheel.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good. I was just about to suggest that, actually.
They've been talking about that. Their hesitation is that would make it a lot more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But it would be better than, like, Dirt 3's pre-order thing of an RC car.
Maybe. But what if I don't have space for a racing wheel?
Then you get the regular edition.
Yeah, you get
But I don't want the regular edition. I want to be special.
Yes.
You're not allowed to be special, son.
I have to imagine they're bouncing this little issue around.
They could do a legendary edition.
And, like, what about people like Jugs, who are like, I have a far better racing wheel.
They'll do two versions of the limited edition, one with wheel and one without, and the one with the wheel will just be bundled with a wheel on top of the other collector shit.
That would be my thought.
Yes.
But we'll see.
And there'll be like 12 of them.
Yeah,
limited edition.
There's only half of one.
If you're going to only make 12 Forza Motorsport 4s, then you might as well just do that whole $16,000 comes with the car thing.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
It comes with your very own Fiat Abarth 500.
I want a Ford Focus.
Yeah, no, Fiat 500. I forgot the Abarth isn't in America yet.
It will be.
Think.
No, wait. Someday.
Someday. I hope so. I want it. I want the Fiat 500 as it is. That's a good car.
Yeah, I've seen a few of them, and at first I was like, oh, that's a Fiat 500. I didn't realize, it didn't click in my head that I was seeing something that I had never seen on the roads in this country before.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hey, wait a minute, that's the first one of those I've ever seen in real life.
You played too much Forza.
Yeah, that's pretty shit.
Forza, Top Gear, etc. It's like, oh, Fiat 500. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I believe so. There's some Fiat dealerships opening up in America that are also going to be Alfa Romeo dealerships someday.
Yeah, we actually have a Fiat dealership in Michigan that just opened up. Sergio Marchione, or whatever his name is, was in there on the day they announced they were paying back their loans to the government.
He likes calzones.
I don't know if he does or not.
Everyone likes calzones.
I don't know. He's like an Italian Michael Pachter to me.
It's all those calzones.
I don't know if calzones are that big in Italy, dude.
No, because they're bigger, because we have pizzones, which are smaller.
I don't even... Do we still have pizzones, really?
I think some Pizza Huts have those.
I think they still have them.
I think they do.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, we should look it up. That's
an interesting... For when you're really hungry for a calzone, but you just don't want any quality...
Yeah.
Or taste.
Well, I mean, if you're ordering from Pizza Hut to begin with, you're not looking for any quality to begin with.
That's right.
I mean, Pizza Hut is the worst of the worst, even compared to Domino's.
Just give me some food. I don't care what it is.
Even compared to Little Caesars, they're not very
good. In Canada, I think Pizza Hut is... Like, I've had Pizza Hut in Buffalo, and I've had Pizza Hut in Canada, and the Pizza Hut in Canada tastes a lot different.
Really?
Yeah.
Better? Like better?
Yeah, the cheese on the one in Buffalo was all, like, slimy, and it was... I don't know. I've had... And it's not just the one Pizza Hut, because I've had it at several there, and... Or maybe it's just Buffalo Pizza Hut.
No, I think that's accurate. That sounds like... Because Pizza Hut usually has terrible cheese that is just... tastes off compared to normal pizza cheese. And the dough, the bread, is just really, really dry.
I used to love Pizza Hut, but...
Yeah,
my memories of it are a lot better than...
I think they use Canadian cheese for Pizza Hut in Canada.
Wait, is that like Canadian bacon? Because if so, I'm out.
No, it's like Canadian cheese is different because it's actually real cheese, not the fake shit we have in America.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's opposite of Canadian bacon.
I don't think they
sell
the Pizzone. Oh, actually, wait, hold on. No, this was in 2008. I don't think they sell it. There's a place called Pizza Pizza in Canada that makes something very similar to the Pizzone.
Pizza Pizza, I think, in Canada is the same as Little Caesars in America.
I was going to say, did they rip off Little
Caesars? We have Little Caesars, too, though.
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought...
Well, it could be like the Dunkin' Donuts Donut Connection thing where it's the same company with two names.
I don't know. I'm all confused now.
Or Sirius XM.
Wow. Okay. I got to look this up now. We are food night.
Pizza Pizza is in Ontario mostly, which is the province I live in.
Yeah, is that the French speaking one?
No. Quebec is.
Okay. Right.
Actually, I don't know if they... I don't think they have Pizzones anymore.
Okay, I stand corrected. Pizza Pizza is actually a competitor of Little Caesars. It's not any ownership with them.
No,
or anything.
No, yeah.
No, the only thing they own is... they own their ass because they stole their slogan and got away with it. It's like, what up, bitches?
You know, Pizza Pizza has been around for a long time.
Yeah, apparently.
Sure, Little Caesars has
history.
As well.
Little Caesars has been around for a while. The Ilitch family owns that and owns a bunch of sports teams in Detroit.
Yeah, guess who won a race in a Little Caesars-sponsored NASCAR one time?
Oh, God, I don't even remember, and we shouldn't be talking about this much NASCAR, but do tell me, Slowbird.
John Andretti.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Actually, wait. I'm pretty sure he did. I also think that Jeremy Mayfield... I know Jeremy Mayfield drove that car, too. I don't know if he won a race in that car, though. Remember when Jeremy Mayfield won races?
Yeah, I remember those days. And then
what the hell happened to that?
And then somebody planted crystal meth and told his mom to tell on him. Or something like that.
Planted. 1967. Pizza Pizza works with a car upholsterer to create the world's first insulated pizza delivery bag.
Oh, wow.
That's funny because Domino's takes credit for the exact same thing.
What really? Did Domino's do it in, huh?
Yeah, Domino's takes credit for having those hot bags that have, like, the foil inside, or the sort of, the silver stuff inside.
They probably just...
Do theirs
have
also,
the
like, heat things, though, like, actively, or is
yeah,
it still just
actively,
passive?
Yeah, it heats actively, There's an active... Yeah, because they have to be plugged in the car.
Oh, yeah, so then that's different. Because this is just claiming to be insulated.
Oh, okay, because, Domino's also on their boxes has recent claims that they're the ones who came up with the idea that corrugated cardboard actually holds in heat better.
What?
We invented pizza.
We invented cardboard
everything.
And pizza and everything.
We discovered the ancient pepperoni-making tradition.
We invented the idea of using cars for pizza delivery. Before that, everyone just walked.
Yeah. You know, as much as I like pizza, I sometimes just like eating pepperoni by itself more.
I could not agree less.
Where are we going with this?
Oh, John Andretti was a perfect segue to the Indy 500.
Not really, but let's go to the Indy 500 because this weekend, gentlemen, is going to be the holiest weekend of auto racing of the year. It's a holy weekend.
It's
Sunday.
The John Andretti 500.
It's not the John Andretti 500.
He's in. He qualified.
He qualified, but he's not going to win.
In the top half, though. He qualified in
That's
the top.
It's because the top 24 were locked in, and the only people who got bumped were in the back.
Oh, but he was fairly fast.
That's true. He was kind of fast.
He was faster than his teammates.
He was fast enough that Danica Patrick and Marco Andretti used his setup.
Yeah, that's pretty fast.
That is fast.
A Canadian qualified first.
Alex Tagliani tags himself.
I don't know if it's the first time or if Jacques Villeneuve...
No, it is the first time Canadians hit the pole in Indy 500. I'm very surprised, too.
Villeneuve has won, though, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, Jack Villeneuve won 1 year, but he did not get the pole that year.
Oh, okay.
Obvious.
I'm looking at the grid here. It's pretty well stacked, surprisingly, in some areas.
Yeah, if I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I'm straight. Oriol Servia, third. Buddy Rice, after like a hiatus of doing jack shit for so many years, is seventh.
I don't understand why he wasn't in racing, because he totally used to be good.
He wasn't marketed very well. I mean, he did okay, and then all of a sudden, ABC thought, oh, how do we pitch this guy? Oh, yeah, he's a street racer, and he drives hot rods up and down the road. And you look at him, and he doesn't look anything like that. He looks like a Tony Stewart type.
He looks like a nerd, kind of.
Yeah, and it's like, are you really going to believe that this dude races hot rods on the street? No, never. And so I guess from there, just people just saw him as bland. Bertrand Baguette is 14th. What the hell?
I fully support more pastries and breads being in racing.
I mean, even EJ Viso, the guy who crashes out every race because he sucks as a human being, is 18th.
The guy with the dart with no feathers.
Yeah, something like that.
The Indy, what's it called? The Honda Indy in Toronto. I think I saw EJ Viso.
Yeah, he's a terrible driver. And
I saw Marco Andretti drive by on a little scooter. He had a hot girl on the back of it.
Shocking.
You don't say. Funny enough, the story of last week when the qualifying was going on was, as we sort of hinted at earlier, whether Danica Patrick or Marco Andretti were going to make it into the field. In the end, both did. Pretty easily.
Thank goodness our national nightmare is over.
Yes, no kidding, right?
Did Paul Tracy even attempt this year?
Yeah.
Did he make it in?
Yeah, he made it in. Also, yeah, I should note this right now. I don't think this is a starting order that is correct, because once again, I've browsed to the wrong page, because apparently IndyCar can't be asked to put something together properly.
Let me look it up.
So, for anyone who's listening to the podcast who says, that's not the right order at all, that's why.
Then they're going to be like, then they're going to send you a complaint email to the email address.
Yeah, this isn't right at all, because it says Paul Tracy. Oh, no, that's right. Paul Tracy is 25th in the field, because he qualified on the second day, and that's the top spot in the second day, because the first 24 are locked in.
Oh.
Well, no, the first 9 are locked in completely safe from bumping, then the first 24 were locked into their positions, but were 10 through 24 were susceptible to bumping, though it never happened.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of confusing.
Like always.
Yep. But Ryan Hunter-Reay was missing the field, and then he decided to buy out Bruno Junqueira from his ride, so that's nice, whatever. That said, let's get down to the real point here. Who do you guys think is going to win the Indianapolis 500?
Simona DiSilvestro, with burnt hands. It'll be a true comeback story.
I would love to say yes to that, but she has more road racing skills than actual oval racing skills, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
It'll be under caution in the rain.
That would be nice, kind of like pulling a Buddy Rice there.
Yeah, or David Ruderman.
You really should not be bringing NASCAR into a talk about Indy 500.
I didn't
also,
say
if you're
going to
do that,
it
should be Jeff Burton, because that was the guy who won so many times because of rain delays, or rain cancellations, rather.
Yeah, okay.
Personally, looking at this list here, I don't think Alex Tagliani is going to survive 200 laps.
Is he good at ovals?
I never thought he was good, period, but apparently he is, given his speed.
I never thought he was all that great.
He was in kart for a long time. He's been racing for a long time.
He has, but he's always kind of just mediocre, as far as I thought. But
yeah, he wasn't mediocre, but yeah, he wasn't winning material or pole material.
He usually crashes out, I think.
He's like a slightly better Patrick Carpentier. Patrick Carpentier.
Is he still racing?
Patrick NASCAR. Carpentier? Yeah, he is. NASCAR, I think.
Oh, NASCAR?
Yeah, he's
trucks,
one of those
trucks or something.
Yep, trucks, I think.
Oh. No, wait. No, that's that other guy. Max Pappas.
Oh, same Max guy. Pappas, yeah, he does the other the Daytona prototype, so
I think
it's
Tag and him or some people were on the players team together.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tags was on the players team.
But anyway, my real pick is Will Power finally masters oval racing.
I could see that. Yeah. Gutsy as heck for him to actually get it together in oval, but he has to if he wants to win the championship.
My other dark horse is Townsend Bell in a one-off.
Wow, I'm surprised how well he's qualified, but he has potential.
Yeah, Ed Carpenter and Davey Hamilton will get top tens.
And that will surprise the heck out of me, because I'd expect both of them to crash out.
Or they'll both crash out. They'll either both crash out or both get top tens.
EJ Visa's going to take them both out.
EJ Peace is going to take out the entire field, except for Anna, except for Anna Beatrice and Peppa Man, who will finish first and second.
Oh, god damn it, that'd be the worst race ever.
I love that race.
This is one of those races where whenever the field feels like it's going to be completely open and anybody could win like this...
It's going to be Daria Franchitti.
I don't think it's going to be Daria, but I think it's going to be the usual suspects anytime you think a race is going to be interesting and it turns out not to be, which means it's either going to be Scott Dixon or Dan Weldon. That's my picks.
It's going to be Daria Franchitti.
Because that's
sad and disappointing in my life is always going to go like
I don't think Dario has the speed this year. I think... For some reason, Chip Ganassi is struggling to get the proper speed.
I hope so. I really hope so.
But, and I don't know, he's had the most trouble of all the guys. Although, actually, no, that's unfair to say. You know why? Because he had trouble because he ran out of fuel on the Super Bowl qualifying stuff.
Yeah.
And Scott Dixon ran out in turn four, which is why he finished behind tags.
Yep.
So, you know, could be Dario very well. But my money is on Scott Dixon, Dan Weldon. My sentimental favorite, who I really want to win it, is Vitor Mira.
Oh, man, I would totally love that. Yeah, he's been so close for so long.
Yeah. What I would like to see as well is I want to see Simona Di Silvestro, I want to see Anna Beatrice, and I want to see Pippa Mann all finish ahead of Danica Patrick by a long shot.
I want to
frustrate the heck out of her.
I want her to crash out on her own with no one to blame but herself, and then immediately go to NASCAR.
That said... Indy is her strongest track. She has most experience there, and other than her fuel strategy win at Twin Ring Motegi, it's the track she always does the best at, so
that
is not so much likely. So how about you, Kevel? What do you think?
I don't know, because I haven't followed Indy in a long time.
Okay. Well, regardless, the coverage of this race will start at 11 a.m. Eastern on ABC. I don't need to be plugging them, but hey, I'm going to be tuning in. But it should be interesting. But before that... And part of this holy day of racing will be the Monaco Grand Prix. And I really don't have any picks there or anything. I just want to say that is the best track.
I heard there's going to be a parade all the way around the track.
And, it's going to be kind of a fast parade, too.
Yeah.
It'll
be going at the same time as the race. Oh, wait, it is the race.
Well, here's the thing, is that there are passing opportunities at that track. Don't kid yourself.
They're right after someone else hits the barrier.
I do not agree here. I've seen people pass. I've seen races where there are good passing opportunities. The problem is, for such a long time, passing at certain points in the track were such taboo things to do. I remember all the way back when Michael Andretti was trying his hand at Formula One. He tried passing at some turns and got a bunch of crap because he may have taken out Michael Schumacher.
Oops. No. Wait, I wish he would have done that 100 more times.
Oh, you and me both. But yeah, Monaco is going to be a fun... 7:30 a.m., I think, Eastern is when that starts.
So, I like the track a lot. I really like the track a lot. I just...
It's a beautiful track. It actually races very well in like the Gran Turismo games where it has been in.
You mean Côte d'Azur?
Yeah, Côte d'Azur.
I don't even think they licensed it officially. Like, I don't know how that works, but...
I think...
They called it that because they couldn't call it Monaco or something.
I think they... may have gotten more official licensing as a recent because they do. I think they have the FIA stuff. They have WRC, so that's FIA.
Yeah.
So who knows? But
Monaco is. Can you trademark the name Monaco? Because that's like a place.
Maybe not. Maybe maybe Côte d'Azur is.
Yeah, Côte d'Azur.
Côte d'Azur.
Côte d'Azur.
Someone shit on the Côte d'Azur.
Côte rack.
Yes.
But yeah, that's gonna be a fun race to watch, and so. That's at 7:30 a.m. ish or so. Probably 7:30 is the pre-show, then 8, the race starts, runs to 10 or so. Then 11 is Indy 500's coverage starting. That probably starts at 1.
Yeah.
And then when that wraps up at like 4 or 5 p.m., maybe 6, at some point NASCAR, which 600 miles at night.
I'll be watching. Sounded like a dog was snoring.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't really snore in real life, so.
Or do you?
How would you know?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He's going to set up recording equipment to record him sleeping and see if he snores.
He's going to make a podcast of him sleeping.
We are Sleep Night. You're listening to the Giants Norcast.
And somehow it's better in episode 3.
Is this just, this is the fourth episode, isn't it? No?
Fourth episode, yeah. We've been through four episodes already. And I still haven't gotten the MRSS together. So, that said, I think we've talked about everything from video games and racing. You know what it's time for, Slowbird?
NASCAR?
No. No, we're not talking NASCAR.
Dirt 3?
We already talked Dirt 3 at the beginning. What's the final segment, Slowbird?
Email.
We don't have any emails.
Damn it.
GiantBombForza at gmail.com is the email address if you ever want to send us something, but don't worry, you don't really need to.
I've got emails.
Okay.
Wait for it.
Are you really going to send one right now?
Oh. I'm going with my coworkers go-karting on Monday.
Oh, cool.
Should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
A chance to beat them at racing.
Don't accidentally go to work on Monday. Oh, wait. Okay, I got emails for you. All right. The Sims 3 says, your latest VIP news, including great deals, free ringtones, and more.
Oh, god damn it. You're just reading from your spam.
Justin TV says, Whiskey Media just went broadcasting live on Justin TV on Justin TV.
Stop it.
But 25% off everything ends on Memorial Day.
Kevin, let's talk about you for a moment in this karting stuff, because I don't want him to read any more emails. What's your strategy when you're prepping for a go-kart outing? Do you have any strategies or think anything through, or do you
cut fairly small shoes because go-karts are kind of tight down there.
Ah, gotcha.
That's what she said.
And that's about it. I generally have a pretty good power to weight ratio on people because I'm built fairly small. I only weigh like 170 pounds or so.
Okay, cool.
So I generally have an advantage on people in the straights. They're electric carts, so you don't pass out after like an hour. And also, it's kind of like racing Teslas because they are pretty much silent.
Yeah, and they probably have a lot of torque to them if they're electric.
Yeah, instant torque. It's nice. It's good. I really like it. It's indoor.
I really want to go race go-karts now, but I have no friends.
We need to get together at some point and race go-karts.
This track, and I want to, hopefully Mini does this again, but there's this place in Toronto called Downsview, and it used to be an Air Force base, but now there are a bunch of like big like warehouses. There's like a big basketball thing there. There's this go-karting place. There's all sorts of things. And one time, Mini had like an event where they just brought a bunch of Minis out to the airfield and let you just rip around the airfield in the Minis.
Oh, good God, that sounds awesome.
But yeah, they haven't done that since. Hopefully they'll do that again soon. But yeah, this place is pretty good. And they had it was actually worked out really well. We were going to go, and this week I got an email from them saying $30 unlimited racing passes. So we're probably going to be there from 6 p.m.
Whoa.
That is not, now $30 for the day, right?
That's that's okay. Extraordinarily
so reasonable. $30 for from 6 p.m. to 12 p.m.
That's reasonable.
12 a.m. Yeah.
6 hours of racing. Yeah, I'll take that. That's a good deal.
Yeah, it's and it's going to be a Monday, and Monday's not a holiday in Canada, so we're going after work, so it shouldn't be too busy, so we should get a lot of racing in.
I love it when you get off and you get right back in line and you just get right back on.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the way it will work.
Yeah, hopefully you get lots of track time.
We have these go-karts, this go-kart track here, and it's like, they have sprint car type go-karts, and they have a, like a little oval track that they're on, and they have paint in the turn, so they slide out.
Ah, that sucks.
It's
like a good kind of slide out.
Yeah, yeah. They have it's intended to be like drifting, like dirt racing, like oval dirt racing.
Ah, okay.
So I think these carts go max out at about 60 kilometers an hour, which is just under 40 miles per hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
So they're pretty good.
Yeah, that's decent.
Yeah. And I mean, the acceleration's great because they're electric.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had one die on me, though, before.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I'm racing, and then suddenly it starts going slow, and then I roll to a stop.
Do you guys ever get into crashes?
Yeah, actually, one of my friends got into a big crash.
Nice.
And it hurt for a few days. Actually, often coming back from there, I'm in pain for a few days.
Do you guys ever get, like, yelled at for being too aggressive?
Not really. I try to generally be fairly courteous. If someone's being a real jerk, then I will start trying to spin them out. If they keep trying to, like,
yeah.
I'll stick my nose in, and then if they close the gap, and then I have to break for that, I'll do that a few times.
Yeah.
If they keep doing that, I'm gonna keep myself in there, and they're gonna cut in and spin out because I'm gonna be essentially pit maneuvering them.
When I was a kid, some kid and his dad were in the two-person cart, and they were all slow and shit, and they were blocking me, and I just finally just stuck it in there, and they turned down on me, and I spun them out and kept going, and then I got in trouble when I got off.
the guys that run it are pretty good. They have like controllers, so they can slow you down for a couple seconds if you do something stupid.
Yeah,
And then they let you go fast again. Now, if they see they've seen me being stuck behind someone for like two or three laps, and then I spin that person out, they do not slow me down for that.
Like, they just slow the other person down. That should slow the other person down so that you can get by.
Yeah, but I know the track fairly well now, so I'm generally fairly fast on it.
So I'm going to assume this is a flat track, too. No banking or anything?
Yeah, no banking or anything like that. It's indoor.
Local track champion, Kevil.
No. Although, if you talk to... I forget his online name now. Ed?
Unsolved Paradox.
Unsolved Paradox. I've raced with him before there. It was pretty fun.
Nice. See, I've always been to the go-kart tracks that are, like, connected right next to a mini-golf course.
That's the kind we have. Yeah.
Those are the slow kind, generally, aren't they?
Yeah, the slower kind. Well, then they're shorter and smaller tracks, too. So you can't go as fast to begin with. And you can pretty much hold the pedal all the way through. Yeah, those are the ones where it's like, I don't give a damn about... Because they can't slow me down.
True,
They don't have any way of doing that. So I'll go in, like, banked turns and just dive in on the inside of people who are slow to begin with and just completely use them to turn. Yeah, just jar the hell out of them.
Aren't bumper cars? Then why do they have those metal bumpers on them?
So you don't destroy them. They actually have like shifter carts and stuff there too for the professional ones. Unfortunately, the public ones are not shifter carts.
Oh, that's a shame.
I can't shift anyway.
One day I want to try shifter carts and relive my dream of never being a race car driver or something. I don't know.
You can drive shifter cart 2 Unleashed.
Drive a go-kart in Gran Turismo.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That's not fun at all, by the way.
No, it's not bad. It's kind of fun. They it's spin not, out really easy.
It's not very much like driving a go-kart unless you had a steering wheel.
Yeah. Even if you did, it's still not like actual go-karting.
No.
That's go-karting a shame.
A lot of fun.
It should be really easy for them to make go-kart tracks in something like Gran Turismo. You don't need much in the way of texture or something. Just put it inside a warehouse.
It's not the track, it's the cart handling.
It's always kind of jarring to get back into a regular car after go-karting for like 3 or 4 hours because the steering wheel is just so much lighter. So you have to be careful.
You're like, whoa, I'm swerving all over the damn place.
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off, lady. I'm headed to the NASCAR race.
Oh, boy. So, Kevil, any final thoughts?
No, that's about it.
How about you, Slowbird? You actually, we should get one more final thought from you regarding Scrub League Forza Race Night.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
How about you plug that?
Everybody who sucks at racing games show up and play Forza 2 hours before the regular race night, because I promise it will be totally fun.
When is that?
8 o'clock, Thursday night.
That's actually 2.5 hours, but yes, 8 p.m. Thursday nights. Forza Scrub League Race Night, Forza Giant Bomb Scrub Forza League Race thing.
You should always talk in that announcer voice that you use at the beginning of the race night. I like that voice.
Okay, well then. Remember, every Thursday, Forza Scrub League Race Night on Giant Bomb.
Now do it with an Australian accent.
Oi, crikey matey. We're talking about wallabies up in here.
I'm Italian.
Oh, I don't know.
No, wait, wallabies are way better.
Pasta and fettuccine.
Bucket and bopper, bopper and pepper.
Yeah, it's, but I don't know. I think that's one thing we have to plug. The Scrub League 4 is a race night. We also have, of course now, Dirt 3 race nights Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern as well.
Race Night is now a franchise.
Grace Knight is the franchise. We keep rolling. Yep. Well, it's been that way for a while now. It's been the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Interested franchisee, please contact us at this address.
Insert address here.
Interested in opening your own Forza Race Night? Contact us through this email address today.
Insert email here.
What is our one for this podcast again? I can't remember.
Our Gmail, I'm glad you asked, is giantbombforza@gmail.com. Send us questions, send us suggestions, comments, whatever. Or if you have any other comments on what we're talking about here, please feel free to put them in the blog post I am going to put on Giant Bomb somewhere, probably in my own blog.
Also, tell people in thread so that they're not asking you questions the whole week. Did you post the thread, the podcast this week?
Yeah, I need to tell people in the Forza Race Night thread. I just keep dropping the ball there.
Yeah.
But no worries. But anyways, yes. So, of course, as always, Forza Race Night, Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Scrub League, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. And Dirt 3 Race Night, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, or 5 p.m. on Sunday for Pacific time, people. If you're Drew Scanlon or Dave Snyder or another Giant Bomb guy or someone on the West Coast, who wants to join us?
Vinny, buy a racing wheel!
Don't buy a racing wheel.
Do buy a racing wheel.
Don't buy a racing wheel.
Shut up, Ryan Davis. Do buy a racing wheel.
And that will do it for We Are a Race Night.
Buy a racing wheel.
Don't buy a racing wheel.
Buy a racing wheel.
For Slowbird, for Kevel, and I'm Seg, and don't buy a racing wheel.
Buy a racing
wheel. For We Are a Race Night.
Buy a racing wheel.
Buy a racing wheel.
Buy a racing wheel.
Don't buy a racing wheel.
A racing wheel.
Don't buy a racing wheel.
Why not?